You are listening to Seniors Junction Podcast. We are preventing seniors isolation, one conversation at a time. Your hosts today, Nambala Bagaria and myself, Paul Merkley, we're the co-founders of Seniors Junction. And our very special guest today is Deepak Saini. He's a health and longevity coach. Welcome, Deepak.
Thank you, Paul and Namra. I appreciate being here.
So could you tell us a bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. So I like to say I'm a recovering CPA. So yes, I'm an accountant by profession, but and I'll make this very short. Through overcoming my own health challenges and struggles, I found, coming out the other side, I found what my true purpose is, what my passion is. So now I work, as you mentioned, as a health, anti-aging and biohacking coach primarily, but I also do a little bit of executive and business coaching as well.
Thank you.
Awesome. And I know you, Deepak, since a while, and we recorded a podcast before. So in the longevity, I know you do supplements and you do exercise and many other things. So our theme for the podcast is social isolation. And have you come across isolation in your work? And if yes, what has been your experience with it?
Yeah, I'd say I've seen it in primarily two main ways. So I guess the first being, seniors who are, maybe not well, maybe they're not fit, low energy, et cetera, and they just don't have either the will or the energy to participate in family activities, maybe with their grandchildren or even, just a younger generation. So I've seen it where they basically self-isolate themselves, at least partly because they don't feel confident. Like, I can't go on this hike. I can't go bike riding or whatever the case may be. I've seen that in my own family, for instance, but certainly with past clients as well. And then the second way I've seen it, and maybe it's a little bit more prevalent the last 2 years, is just, seniors who've, kept themselves away from their family and friends, even medical and health appointments, and as much as Zoom and other tools like this are useful, you can't, replace that face-to-face interaction and, the physical touch of a hug or a handshake and that sort of thing. So I think there's been a lot of, where seniors have been, afraid to get out there and do things as well.
So in what you do, what is your vision for tackling the problem in seniors' isolation?
Well, there's a couple of things. I'd say probably three areas. So number one, I think I'd like to feel like I have some impact in this, and I am working with some other organizations in this sense. But I think it starts with policy. We need to keep our populations, healthy, to actually have health care, not disease management. That's just my opinion, but our goal or intent should be to have people to live healthier longer, so they don't even need to access services until much later in life. So I think that's number one. Number two, I think we need to foster, community within these populations, not only, for them and their peers, but also for all generations to come together. We have this generation of elders, have all this wisdom that I don't think we're tapping to its full potential. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that, multi-generations have to live in the same home or anything like that, but I think we just need to get out there and be more accepting, which is, it's more so in let's call it, for lack of a better term, Eastern cultures, maybe not so much in Western cultures. So I think that's number two. And then I think the number three is, we need to bring, these long-term living communities to be places of, dignity and excitement. And I mean, I have a limited, I'll admit, scope of knowledge there. But when I've been to some of these places in my local community, these are not exciting places. These are not places that I don't think people necessarily want to be there. And I don't think even family and friends want to go visit. So I think there's an opportunity there as well.
Mm-hmm. And Deepak, I'm going to probe you further, because I know you are teaching with Seniors Junction strength training. And so I'm sure physical activity and isolation have a role, and supplement and isolation, like especially lots of energy levels, like you said. So can you now come to your expertise of longevity coaching, and what do you think can help, or are there some of the ways in your expertise that you think it can help?
Yeah, I mean, I work when I work with my one-on-one clients, I take a very holistic, multi, you know, disciplinary approach. So, you know, I think that's, you know, having energy levels comes, I mean, yeah, we can do supplements and stuff, but I don't want to focus on that. But, you know, certainly the way you eat, you know, what you eat, you know, can play a role. And again, not to pick on some of these long-term care communities, but and I mean, it goes back to policy as well, right? What they can serve, what are they serving in these places? So I think, you know, I think nutrition plays a role. Obviously, movement and getting out and doing exercise, and, you know, hopefully my course that'll be starting shortly in a few months will be, you know, a positive step in that. But just getting movement, and part of that movement, I mean, it could be by yourself in your room or in a small group, but it's also being, whether virtually or in person, being part of a community. We're all doing this together, whether that be, you know, strength training, dancing, whatever the activity might be. And then again, as I mentioned, community, being part of a community, feeling like we're part of something. And that could be, again, could be movement, could be other activities, art, crafts, you know, whatever the case might be. And then also, I think that sharing of knowledge, again, back to that, you know, multi-generational thing. You know, I've heard some great things. I haven't witnessed it personally, but, you know, some great things where, you know, junior high or high school kids, you know, if it's close by, you know, going there and helping the seniors out with whatever might be needed. But then at the same time, the seniors sharing knowledge and sharing stories and you know, letting people know about their life experiences. Again, that's so rich. And then at the same time, and I'm not saying that seniors don't already do this to some extent, but, you know, focusing on gratitude, you know, what's their purpose? What are they grateful for? And maybe that also, you know, could be meditation or something like that as well as part of it. So yeah, very holistic approach.
Mm-hmm. And before I ask you the next question, which is the barriers and opportunities to your vision, I just want to, Paul, can you share your experience a little bit with activities and purpose and social connection?
Oh, it's everything you've been saying. So applicable, or so much a part of my experience. I started doing all kinds of things. I had a health low. I had a heart attack, and I'm diabetic, and I was isolated. And I joined a neighborhood club, started playing doubles tennis, went from there to going on walks with people, played bridge, did line dance, aerobics, all these things got me out, got me meeting people, gave me things to look forward to, and started to give me more purpose. And then, of course, I have such purpose with Seniors Junction. So I'm really fantastic. In tune with what you're saying. You know, here we are. You can recover. You can regain so much vitality and enjoy life again.
Yeah, and I think what you were talking about, eating and food, and you know, I'm digressing a little bit to make this conversation like a real conversation, not like a rehearsed conversation, but it's just like I changed how I eat tremendously. Like, remember, I reached out to you, maybe I'll take coaching, and then I message you, hey, I've done some progress myself. Like, so I think from Paul, I learned the art of substitutions. So what happens is now I'm able to make, let's say, an Indian recipe, but with quinoa or with oats, you know, so it's because I need the spices and the flavors and the, you know, the kind of dish that we make in Indian culture. And I've seen the difference. And I've started seeing, like, for example, Paul told me that he's strong enough to pick up weights, but for him, the challenge was aerobics, doing cross exercises and those cross steps. And I found that so, like, it was, I couldn't imagine it, because I'm someone who does Zumba and aerobics regularly. So for me, those are the easy wins. But when it comes to like a squat or a pushing for a weight or something like that, that's more challenging. So then we started learning, oh, we have to continuously train our brains and our minds. And like, you know, like even with fitness, like you said, because it's not in the end of your life. It's every day. You're aging every single day. Right? Your life, every single decision we make, whether what we eat, what we think, how we move. And given all of us have sitting jobs, we're all working from home forever because of the pandemic. So we have to be very careful in what we eat. and how much we eat. And I think so. I think I've learned how to at least optimize some functions, you know, have multiple apps for fitness, multiple gym memberships in case I get lazy. There's something in the neighborhood, there's something far away. So yes, it has a cost attached to it, but that's the money I'm investing in myself, you know, and that's the best return on investment. If I can, I can buy one less, you know, dress or go for a one less holiday. But this is where self-coaching, because all of us to in the end have to find what works for us. No matter how many teachers we take, our teachers can only tell us to a point. We have to then get so interested and active in our lives, because the barriers to eating healthy or being in a community are so many and so unique for each individual. So I think what you're talking about is very common sense, but when you apply it, it's very hard.
Well, I think ultimately, to your point, is like, ultimately people have to make the decision for themselves. They have to, is this important to them enough or not?
Yeah.
Right. And if it's super, there's, you know, like, I don't want to talk about my story, but I was at such depths. I was at such low. And I remember that, even though that was 8 years ago, I still remember that low. I never want to go back there. So that's a constant check for me. And everyone's going to have their own set point of what that is, yeah, and how much they're going to do. But also to your point too, and it's my whole goal. I mean, if somebody wants to go to the gym, or there's something in the community they live in, or the facility that they're in, hey, that's fantastic. But my goal with my clients, whether they're 30 years old or 65 years old, is like, you don't necessarily need to go to the gym for strength training or health. You can do it at home. And I can teach you that, or other, you know, others can teach you that. And if that resonates with you, great. Some people hate the gym. Some people hate that thing. Some people thrive on the gym. So they find community in the gym,
exactly,
classes or whatever. So everyone's got to find their own thing,
yeah,
for sure. And the other thing I just wanted to bring up too, because this just literally happened the other day with a client who's, late 40s. And you're talking about, hey, you know, I'm getting a little bit older. I'm a step slower when I play, you know, pick up basketball. We talked about this concept. You probably heard it before. I think first coined by, you know, Dr. Peter Attia, the centenarian Olympics. You know, what do you want to be able to do when you're 70, 80 plus? Well, you got to start preparing for that now. You can't start, you know, exactly, and very basic movements. So, and I'm starting to get people to think about this a little bit, especially those who are maybe in their late 30s, 40s, and 50s. Like, what do you want to be able to do in 20 years? Because you need to start preparing for that now.
So I want to just still a couple be able to walk in the Ottawa streets without falling down. And if I fall down, I need enough balance to fall on a soft part. That's my goal. The Canadian winters, that's my goal. Like, not to get depressed and shut myself in for 6 months because it's so long. And when I came from Mumbai, you know, we have the same weather the whole year, right? So you're not so, and it's hot and humid and you're complaining, oh, it's so hot and so humid. Now you wish it was hot and humid. It's only humid and cold and cold and humid. So I think for me, it's like Paul says, it's become an identity. And that's the basic shift that happened. I want to, like, I'm a very community oriented person. So, and I, you know, I'm single, I live by myself. So the gym and the group classes, well, not always you make friends, but it's a good way to see others doing it. And I enjoy that. And of course, with COVID, that's also limited how much you can do and how often you can do and all that. But like you said, like for me, the success started coming with that sense of purpose, identity. It's not like, because many of us have not even played as children. And so I had this old narrative, oh, I don't like exercise, but that's not true. I'm very athletic. And then I'm overweight. And there's this another bias, which I had, that fat people don't exercise. And that's not true because, you know, I do lots of activities with the weight I have and I enjoy them. So it's a lot of minute level of adjustments in your consciousness that you have to do to tell yourself that, hey, I like it. And I'm not training to become, you know, the next whatever athlete or something. I'm just doing it to have fun, you know, or to pass my time or to get rid of my work stress or thesis stress or whatever I have, you know. So I think what you're saying is true. And but what I, the reason I elaborated on this point and took it away for a second is just to show that though what your guidelines are very standard, but it's so personalized and so nuanced when you come to apply it on an individual basis.
No, absolutely. And if I wasn't clear, yeah, like, again, if I work with a one-on-one client, there's a framework, but depending where that person is, where their starting point and what's important to them, we can go in any part of that circle or box or whatever, right? And we might spend a lot of time up here. It might be nutrition, it might be exercise, it might be community, and never get to anything else. So it's really what the person needs in themselves and what they're looking for, what they're searching for. So yeah, no, great points.
Yeah. And so Deepak, that given that you have a very clear three-step vision, what are the barriers and challenges that you find in executing them?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the challenges are, again, you know, not to harp on sort of policy, but, you know, we've had this essentially in many parts of health or healthcare for the last 70 years, these policies that are very, you know, old, you know, possibly there's some, you know, vested interests in that. And new science has come up in the last, you know, 5, 10, 15 years and why policy has not followed this new science. Yes, people are doing things individually, clinics, specific docs, but as a whole broad system, we have not adopted, you know, these new learnings and we're still doing what we did 70 years ago. And people are just getting sicker and sicker and aging faster and faster. So, you know, I hate to be kind of like that guy, but, you know, there's a lot of money in keeping things the way they are and not improving. So that's a challenge, obviously. And I'm not sure how you overcome that. And even if I had a magic wand, again, like, boom, today we're starting this, it would still take a whole generation to see real change. So that's also a challenge as well. And as far as opportunities, you know, there's so much great science being done. There's so much enthusiasm in the sector right now. You know, there's many programs, companies, health providers, professional coaches like myself. You know, we're beginning to slowly, one at a time, or, you know, small groups, I'm starting to move the needle and just tackle these problems. So, you know, it's never been more exciting to be, you know, in this space, go forward. So I see that as a huge, you know, huge opportunity and a huge win for like the movement of this go forward.
Paul, doesn't this speak to a bit of the concept of personal blue zone that you were talking about?
Well, it does. I was thinking, as you were saying about blue zone, I was thinking of what you were saying too about eating and so on. We really have to, as individuals, make our own blue zones, don't we?
And coaches like you are starting points, you know, and like the group classes that we offer through Seniors Junction are a little extension of a community blue zone. But today, the communities might look very differently, not the traditional, you know, Okinawa community where you That's know everybody right. lifelong. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have lived, migrated, moved, and with pandemic even now restricted to, you know, and with Omicron actually coming up, open and back close again. So there is a need for digital communities, not just like a hybrid community concept, like not just in person, but also have your digital community, which do these helpful behaviors. Because there is an endless TV that one can watch, or endless news one can browse, and it's not helpful, right? It's not going to lessen the blow that's happening anyways.
I'm just curious. I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but maybe we have in the past. Do you guys, did I ever share that my 1 year long masterclass is actually called Build Your Personal Blue Zone?
I forgot about that. Oh, I forgot about that.
Basically, I'm not trying to plug that, but essentially, you know, we've learned a lot of things from these different places, and they have a lot of similarities and they have a lot of differences as well. So again, working with my clients, very individualized, take the best of what works for you to build your own personal blue zone in your family or your community or what have you. So
So we should actually talk after this podcast and talk about that class too, because I think, yes, it's a 1 year thing is a very good idea as a follow-up for most of our alums. So what Seniors Junction, what we're doing is we offer the 8-week classes, but we also have a 1 year follow-up. So I think we can, you know, work something out together because that's the goal. It's a common goal. We need facilitators. And I think what we've started realizing is, you know, the word, it's like there are as many personalities or as many kinds of people in the senior population as there in the youth or middle age. Right, Paul? And different people value different things. For some, aging is about doing nothing and just waiting for the end of life. And for many, it's about curiosity. And there are many, many, many more curious people, though you might think not. But we've met so many of them. They want more information. How can they live better? We just got off a call with, you know, one of our clients in the morning where they're like, oh, there's a big, I have the notes here, right? A big appetite for aging and brain, you know, and people want to know. And this is a fundamental shift. Previously, at least 10 years ago in the wellness space, the demand was there, but it was not so strong. But today the demand is established and clear. And where the need is, are you the right person telling me? Because I just Googled this and I found this and I found that. You know, it's more the, like, for example, I read today morning, vitamin D will help with fighting your, like reducing your chances of COVID infection or something. And in my head, I was like, yes, personal hygiene plus vaccine plus supplement, I guess. But I don't know enough evidence myself on that supplement piece because I haven't read papers. But I would definitely sit and talk to you. And then if that's yes, the answer is yes. And you've done, because, you know, you're the expert in on supplements, I would then start, you know, being more committed towards mine. Because unfortunately or fortunately, with food and supplements, it's an everyday, every meal effort. So it's a repeated effort. You might do it well X times, but you're going to fatigue at some point, you know. And the challenge lies, like for me especially, I am very bad with remembering supplements.
I just gotta make it a habit, right? Just to build it up. I don't want to go down this tangent because we could talk for, but there's literally been like 1,000 studies on vitamin D and immune system and, you know, COVID, et cetera. So yeah, that's for real. That's for real.
Yeah. So now I've got a couple in front of me that I keep so that I remember to take them, but like, it's a commitment. And this is like, I've improved in some aspects, but then there's still so many aspects of wellness. There's so much ground to cover that you know, it's like you have to develop a growth mindset. Okay, I've improved from here to here, because there's not like a perfection or an end point to it, right? Because every time you learn something new and you have to apply it on yourself and see, oh, it just works better for me. So I think that's there.
So I like that you said growth mindset for sure. And I've had clients before, maybe a little bit on the, you know, younger, and I don't mean kids, but I mean, you know, let's call it 30s or so. Very high performers already, and just for their curiosity and that growth mindset, they want to try and get an extra, you know, 2%, 5% improvement in everything they do, because that's just them. And now that's not everybody, right? But, you know, so I've certainly seen those people as well.
I think for me, Paul was the biggest help, actually. He has a very fine philosophy of balancing performance with taking it easy. I don't know, what is it, Paul, that you keep saying, right?
Yeah, that's right, isn't it? Because we don't want to stress ourselves further, but the things we want to do to move forward. So somehow we have to find our way. As you say, it's personal, it's your choice. It's the things that, it's personalized, right? It's the things that get you excited. I started with tennis, because that's something I used to do and I gave up, and I wondered, well, could I do it again? And then I found that I could, so I started with that and then I went on from there. But that's me.
Yeah, and I think he mentioned something which his music teacher taught him, and that actually really helped me, because I had a problem of perfection for myself. With others, I don't have it as much, but with myself, I had a big problem. And that's why I was reaching a certain point and then always, you know, falling back, because then you're not doing, like, say if you didn't eat one meal properly, then you're off the wagon completely. And then, you know, that doesn't make sense. So I think Paul introduced the concept of lightness and velocity.
Yeah.
Remember we had that conversation. And
yeah,
so basically
these are from Italo Calvino from the memos for the new millennium. You know, he had 6 pieces of advice for us for this millennium. And the first 2 were lightness and velocity. So lightness in so many ways. Lightness in eating, lightness in attitude, lightness in this, lightness in that. And then we can have the velocity we need to do these things.
Yeah. And that's why this year then I started my New Year's goal 1 month in advance. I started in December 1st. So even if I make mistakes, it's before, and then I'm already
You're ahead already.
That's good. The 5 pounds I had to lose, I lost it before. So, you know, in the holidays, if you eat a little bit here and there, and, you know, it's okay. So what I mean is it's a journey, and the company and aging. What happens is doing other things, it's easy, but this everyday job, you know, everyday movement, this is an everyday effort. It really has to come so committed from you. And the half the work is to get in that mindset of commitment and rhythm and finding joy in it, not think of it as a punishment, you know. So I think
you're absolutely right. I mean, the very first thing I work on with any client, regardless of what they're coming to me for, is up here. It all starts up here, you know, in the mindset, the motivation, purpose, whatever, you know, whatever adjective you want to use, because nothing else can happen until that's sort of worked on, right?
And you know, every day you'll perform differently. Someday you will follow everything perfectly, and some days you will not do anything. And just being okay with your sloppy days and being, you know, enjoying your good days. And most days will be average, where you do a couple of things. So I've started, like, what happened with me, I think the internal shift happened, that now that I work in this industry, where do I lack and what do I excel in, and can I cross apply what I excel at into where I'm not so strong? So for example, most people of my generation are not very good with social connections or with purpose or with community. You know, they're more, you know, different kinds of mindset. And I'm pretty strong with that. But let's say they might be stronger in other activities, which I'm not strong at. So I started cross applying. And unless you have an interest, like, for example, I have no interest in eating salad. Like, if I'm vegetarian, I don't want to eat only salad. That's not the only vegetarian food, or, you know, like high processed vegan meal. Some of them have so much sodium, and I don't want to increase my blood pressure. So, and I miss my culture. So I've started experimenting with joy, like, okay, what all can I make out of quinoa, which is so Indian, you know, and then, okay, what all can I substitute? And unless it becomes like it's a romance of some kind of your life, you know, then you're not going to take interest if it's not romantic enough for you or exciting enough for you. And it's a different reason for different people where that click happens. And I think with Seniors Junction, having coaches like you will help individuals find whatever that reason is. The raison d'etre is different, but the science is the same, right? And a coach can definitely unlock your why, you know, which science doesn't. The science tells you how, you know. So I think it's something that I really am excited to have you with us, and we can finally untap your expertise with us.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be fantastic.
Thank you. And Deepak, if you had to give advice for a company, what's your advice?
Yeah, so I thought about this, you know, and I kind of three things I came up with. So I guess number one would be sort of really be aware. And this is not just for you guys, this is for any, you know, a startup I've worked with, and I have worked with some young entrepreneurs and on their startups as in a business coach capacity, but really be aware of what you don't know yet. You know, seek knowledge, seek other viewpoints. And I'll say how other technologies in seemingly unrelated industries could be harnessed for your mission. That'd be number one. Number two, I think would be figure out a way to harness the power of blockchain technology at a minimum, if not outright ways to leverage cryptocurrencies. I think, you know, people think, this is the 18, 20 year olds who are like all over this. But I've come across, as I've gotten into that space myself, I find plenty of people that are, you know, in their 50s, 60s, even 70s who are also interested in this. So there's got to be some way there. I think that's the way of the future. And then the last thing I'd say is, and I know you've taken some steps personally yourself, but, you know, also don't be afraid to be coached. And I mean, like, really coached. I see this all the time from, you know, again, startup founders or, you know, young executives, you know, yeah, they have their advisory team, they have their board of directors, they might even have formal mentors, but that's just what they do. They mentor them or they, you know, consult with them. But very few entrepreneurs, I think, you know, especially new ones, actually realize the power of actually being coached, because there is a difference between being mentored or having someone to consult with and actually being coached. So I just, you know, say, you know, be open to that as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if people have to find you, how can they find you, Deepak?
Yeah, I'm all over social, but I'd say probably the best place to find me is Deepak Saini Health. So DeepakSaini Health.com. Or on LinkedIn is probably my other really good place to catch me. And there, Deepak Saini Performance is a place to find me there. I'm sure you guys will put the links as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Deepak. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.